I'm really excited to preach this message this morning. What does it mean to take God's name in vain? Some of us have different interpretations of what it takes or what it is to use God's name in vain. Some of us take God's name in vain and then apply a weak, inconsiderate, not acceptable justification for using it. I want to touch on them this morning. But before I do, I want to say this. Get ready. In the coming weeks, you're going to see a new me. You're going to see your pastor on fire. I just read a book. I finished it the first part of this week, last week. And it has put a bug into me like nothing you have ever seen before. And I'm going to preach what I learned from that book. The name of that book is A Dying Church. I'll leave it at that. Because this is a really big deal. And I'll tell you right now, I'm going to interrupt our series on the Ten Commandments to preach this message. But I got to get done with it first. I have worked on this message every day this week. Every day. It is so powerful. It is so important. It is so shaking that you need to hear what I learned in this book. One of the things I learned in this book was exactly what we're going to talk about this morning. You do not take God's name in vain. We preached on this a little bit, or in a little bit different context here, a few years ago. People, what we preached on then was, "Oh my God." Remember that message? Okay? Well, I'm going to tell you something. I still hear people sitting here this morning still using that phrase. And it upsets me. Now, my personality is to try and deliver a message that does not offend people. But I hope you get offended this morning. Because using that phrase, "Oh my God," is using God's name in vain. It drags His name through the sewage of your mouth. I hope that touched you. Sometimes sinners ask God to damn someone or something and throw the name of God around as though it did not have infinite work. There are people, and I think we are guilty of this in generalities, that use God's name in vain without even realizing what we are doing. And then I hear the justification, well, it's just a phrase. Doesn't mean really thing. That's not what I believe in my heart. Well, what's in your heart came out of your mouth. Psalm 8, verse 1 says, O Lord, our Lord, majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Number 2, why do sinners take God's name in vain? Because sinners live in a dark realm and God is the light of the earth. When I was, probably maybe 10, 11 years old, I was with my dad and we stopped at one of his brother's shops. And in that office, my Uncle Hank had a sign on the wall there that said this: swearing is the effort of a feeble mind trying to express itself forcibly. That hit this 10-year-old right square between the eyes. And I do not know why, but I say that phrase today many, many, many times just because I know it. This is their way of suppressing the truth in their own righteousness and casting the light for them. Excuse me. John 1, verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. What does that say? Well, God told us you don't use his name in vain. God, the light, is shining into us, the darkness, telling us not to do it. John 3:19 says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Now, is that powerful? Do you ever think that your cussing and swearing, using God's name in vain, is rooted in your evil deeds? It's kind of like hand in hand. With one comes the other. Certainly with one you display the other. Sinners are at ill will with God when they use his name in vain. Romans 8:7. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's laws, nor can it do so, because sinners are proud by nature and desire to exalt themselves above God. And by using blasphemy, they attempt to demote God and enthrone themselves. Efforts of a weak mind trying to express itself forcibly. That's exactly what this is saying. I can't portray myself as a big shot unless I cuss and swear and take God's name in vain. Why would we use the phrase, oh my God? Why would we do that? What are you really saying? Oh my God. Oh my God, what? What are you saying? Satan attempted to exalt himself above God, and by doing so, showed himself to be the father of all blasphemers. Hebrews 6 verse 16. Men swear by someone greater than themselves, and the old confirms what is said and puts an end to all arguments. Paul, who was Saul before his conversion, kept the law outwardly, kept the Old Testament law, but he compelled Christians to blaspheme. He would have never forced Christians to speak evil of the Lord, but he did twist their arms in an effort to get them to speak evil of Christ, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is exactly what Paul encouraged the people to do before his conversion. Acts 26:11 reads, "Then they secretly persuaded some men to say, 'We have heard Stephen speak words of blasphemy against Moses and against God.'" Boy, is that a cheap shot justification or not? Well, I heard somebody else do it. Why can't I? I heard this from my best friend's dad. Why can't I? I heard. They're weak and lousy justifications. A Muslim was asked if he had ever taken Muhammad's name in vain. Well, of course, he said, well, no, absolutely not. Then he was asked if he had ever taken Christ's name in vain. And he said, yes. Then there was an attempt to explain to him that the reason he did not take the name Muhammad in vain, but take the name of Christ in vain, is because men barely swear by the greater. What do I mean by that? If we really, truly, Jesus Christ is the greater, why would we use his name in vain? To the Muslims, they believe Allah is the greater, and by this Muslim's admission, he never uses Allah's name in vain. You see what I'm saying? He asked if the next time he blasphemed Christ, if he would at least consider what the scripture says about Christ being King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What did he say? No. No, he wouldn't, because he was not going to do that again. Then he was told that he would, because he that commits sin is a servant of sin. Here's what I'm saying there. Once you do it, it's easier to do it again. And again. And again. And again. And pretty soon the "and again" you're not even aware of. You're just saying it and doing it. It becomes a habit. I'm convinced that people use the phrase, oh my God. And I use this phrase only as an illustration. But I'm convinced that people use this phrase, oh my God, and don't really understand what they're really saying. Maybe don't even know they're even saying it. It's just a phrase. Why is that? Ignorance would be a legitimate excuse if it were true. But it's not. Well, I didn't know you couldn't use that. I didn't know I was doing that. Well, if you don't know, you better go to church. If you don't know, you better read the Bible. If you don't know, go talk to a pastor. If you don't know is no excuse. It is still a sin. It is still blasphemy. It is still wrong. And it still is taking God's name in vain rather than worshiping God and uplifting His name Almighty in anything and everything that we say and do. I honestly believe people that use God's name in vain know that it's wrong. I have a friend. I won't give you his name. Never have I heard him use God's name in vain. I've heard of the cussing and the swearing. But one day, I heard, Jesus Christ, why would he do that? And a little bit later in that conversation, I heard, God damn it. You know what that tells me? That tells me that this is normal for him. But he works hard at not doing it in my presence because I'm a pastor. That's what that tells me. But why would he not use God's name in vain? Because he's in the presence of Christ. I'm just Gary. I'm just the rough kid on the block. Exodus 20, verse 7, I'll read once again. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold any... For the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. This is why under the theocracy, the death penalty was probably used to punish this hideous crime. Old Testament thing, that's what happened. Leviticus 24, verse 16 says, anyone who blasphemes the name of the Lord must be put to death. But in Old Testament culture, in Old Testament law, it wasn't just putting this blasphemer to death. Everybody in the village had to take part in it. Everybody in that village had to be the one searching for the biggest stone that he could smash that guy's head in with. Not just the leader of the village. Everyone. Goes in line with you will not hold those guiltless. Some have said I have used God's name in vain, but I didn't mean anything by it. Baloney. Don't tell me you didn't mean anything by it. if not consciously, at least consciously, you meant to try to impress that person that you were talking to that you're a big deal. When you blaspheme, it actually magnifies the aggravation of this sin because it shows the sinner to have such little regard for God's majesty that taking his name in vain is so little and petty to them. Number four, how many are guilty of blasphemy? Some agree that they have used God's name in vain. However, we can curse God in our hearts, and if we offend one point of the law, we are guilty of all of it. In short, all fallen humanity are guilty of blasphemy. James 2:10 says, "Or whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking it all." Now, this is a big deal. This isn't a situation that, well, I'm really a good person and I deserve to go to heaven, even though I have used God's name in vain, but I just did it a couple of times. When you're at that great white throne judgment, good Jesus Christ is not sitting there to bargain with you. You're either guilty or you're innocent. And if you have blasphemed God's name one time without recognizing it, seeing it, asking for forgiveness and asking the Holy Spirit to help you not do it again, you're walking on that last mile. Is it possible for a blasphemer who has committed such a hideous crime against God to be forgiven? Well, that's kind of a no-brainer, isn't it? Of course it is. But it's not if you don't ask. You need to ask to be forgiven, and you need to promise Jesus Christ and ask the Holy Spirit to help you never do it again. First Timothy 1:13 reads, "Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief." Taking the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in vain is a hideous sin. It exposes the animosity that is in our sinners' hearts and shows sinners to be the enemy of God. I want to say this to you. At least 2/3 of the words you heard come out of my mouth this morning, the Holy Spirit gave it to me. At least 2/3 of them words were not on that screen. You need to be moved. I say this, I bring this to your attention, because I could not do this without the Holy Spirit. And I want you to give God the credit, not me. The one thing I have to learn to do is ask the Holy Spirit to tell me when to shut up. Because I could go on and on and on. I really thought this commandment was going to be really difficult to preach on. But right now, I feel this was the best sermon I've ever given on the Ten Commandments. And I hope you guys feel the same way. And all of God's people said, amen. Thank you. This morning we're going to take Holy Communion.